Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is always made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. It's not so much what you know, it's if you know how to find the answer. We can't be expected to be skilled at everything. And then there's just the matter of time. If you're exploring the idea of working with a professional, take a look at the investment programs from KPP Financial. Just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. End of commercial. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is June 9, 2016, and I have a very special guest today. Justin Klein's with me.
Very special, huh?
Well, special meaning, you know, special.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha.
Special.
Well, aren't you the comedian?
Dave Forrest, who writes for the Street Authority, says he has a simple strategy that never lost money in the market.
Yeah, it's called being in cash.
That's not it. And it's not one of those too-good-to-be-true stories either. But there are certain caveats. First, he says, I could tell 100 people about this strategy, and I'd guess 99 out of 100 would just ignore me. The strategy is for suckers. It's time. It has passed. You have to be an idiot to think it would work. Those are some of the responses he got. And what this is a buy-and-hold strategy. No one wants to do it. It's really interesting. In the 1950s, the average stock would held by somebody for 7 years. What do you think it is today?
7 days?
6 months.
6 months.
The average holding of a stock is 6 months.
Does that include the high-frequency traders?
I don't know. I don't know how they got the stat, but yeah. This is the S&P 500 stocks they were doing.
Gotcha.
So that has been the big change. One of the reasons is because when I first made my first trade when I was 20, 21, it cost me $200 to make the trade.
Yeah, so if you were going to sell a stock way back then, you had substantial profit or a very strong reason why you want to sell it.
Yeah, you didn't buy and sell stocks. You just bought them, and you held on for long, long, long times. So that's why there's such and it's so easy to trade now. The trade costs are very little. Everything you can trade online. Before, you had to call up your broker, you had to establish a relationship, or go down there. I had to go downtown, and this was in San Diego when I grew up there in San Diego, downtown, meet with a broker, Merrill Lynch guy, I guess it was, and talk to him for an hour, and then we finally decided to buy. You know what we were. It was a process. Today, you pull out your cell phone, make a trade, and hang up, and you're done.
It's still a process. It's just about a 10-second process.
Yeah, it's really, really short. So it's kind of an interesting change and phenomena. But buy and hold does work. The question is it's got to be years. And they quote a statistic that 20 years is the time frame that you should use, and you will never lose money in the S&P 500. Now, if you're 60 or 70 years old, you may not have 20 years.
Yes, exactly.
So that's a problem. But it is a strategy that works. Most people don't have strategies at all. That's the danger.
Yeah,
How about having a strategy?
Most people just kind of have a hodgepodge of things in their portfolio. And we see it all the time. You know, we get listeners giving us their portfolio, and we put that in our system. We give them a risk score of what type of risk they have and match that up with their risk tolerance. And we see it all the time. There's some, they'll have 15% of their portfolio in one stock.
Yeah.
You know, we just had a new client that came in. It had 30% of his portfolio in one position.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It really is dangerous. So what's on your mind? What are you doing? Do you even have a strategy? I'd love to hear your strategy if you have one. So let's talk about it. Don't be shooting yourself in the foot. Let's make some money. You can ask your questions right now. You can check in with our 24-hour listener line. The number is 888-99-CHART, and it's always open.
Hi, I was wondering if you could give me an explanation, please, on the specifically pricing of stocks as well as indexes. It seems as though whenever a stock or indices goes to, like, you know, a big wholesome round number, like 100 or 1,000 or whatever, it always seems like hesitant to break that number. You know, for example, Dow Jones, you know, like, why is it so hesitant to get to 18,000 and break it? Or another example of it, I don't know if you watch Apple or not, but seems as since it's gone down below 100, today the high was 99.99. It's like people are like afraid to put their feet in the cold water or something. I mean, why can't it just, I don't know if you had an explanation or maybe that's technical analysis, but I would appreciate your comments as I always do. Thank you so much.
That you have just discovered the basis of technical analysis because people see those round numbers, they react to the round number.
It's psychological.
Mm-hmm.
That's why round numbers have that power, is because it triggers psychology of either, okay, that's too expensive, if it is going up into a certain level like Dow 18,000 and people might want to sell, or maybe Apple or another company where it might go down to a certain level and find support there and people think that is cheap at those levels.
And try to remember, technical analysis is nothing more than observation of what has happened in the past and that tends to repeat in the future. It has nothing to do with the fundamentals of the company. Which is the earnings and sales and profitability. The technicals is what is the reaction of traders at certain price levels.
And those reactions tend to be tend to repeat themselves because the human mind and human nature is the same. So when you look at patterns that have played out in the past, it gives you a good indication of how patterns might play out in the future, and that's what you're observing.
Good call, Dahl. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bondholders can fall victim to duration risk. Do you know what kind of risks there are holding bonds? One of the risks is duration risk.
Among many, most people think bonds are safe, but there's many risks.
There's risks. Yeah. You got to understand. Well, if you don't believe me, though, you should have bought some Puerto Rico bonds a couple of months ago, a year ago.
We had a former client do that.
Yeah. So don't think there's not even risk in government bonds. There's risks. Yeah. Lots of risks. Mm-hmm. That's going to be our main talking point today, by the way. Also, what a young adult should do to build wealth. What a young adult should do to build wealth. I have some suggestions. And did you know that the stock indexes are changing? And it's a pretty big change. There's 10 sectors that the S&P has divided up or decided that there's 10 sectors in the market. Now it's going to be 11. You know what the 11th is going to be? That's all, and it's going to be August 31st.
I do know what it's going to be. But I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay. Signs of a big fall in the market dead ahead. I have some indications here that I want to share with you that make me hesitant about what's
going. Is this the Goldman call?
Yeah, it was an article I read. So we're going to go over. So I don't know if it was Goldman or not. I just read it. I don't remember where this was.
I know Goldman Sachs said that, which usually I don't listen to them. But
yeah. Well, these are just, for a number of days, I've been given positive and negatives and positive and negatives. So I'm just trying to balance out my presentation here.
Gotcha.
About the market.
Gotcha.
So today's going to be, well, here's some signs that kind of make you pause. So those are what we're going to talk about. Oh, there's one other here thing. I got this from the newspaper this morning, the IB, Financial Times.
That is a dark copy.
Yeah, that's because it's yellow, and I printed, I wanted to print the main thing. Negative rates. We know we talk about Japan and parts of Europe where the central banks have pushed interest rates so low that they're now negative, is stirring a mutiny in the banks. The banks don't like it.
Of course not.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Why don't they like it?
Because
what is the problem?
They can't make money. They got to cost them money to lend money.
So we're going to talk about that. What can they do? What can they do? And there are certain things, steps they can do, which is kind of interesting. Japan, it's one of the major banks in Japan. We'll talk about that. Those are what's on my mind. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? I'll talk about anything that you want to talk about. The market was down today. The Dow ended up being down 20. The S&P down 16. The Nasdaq down 16. The S&P down 4. And that's not a big day, but it was down more during the day. And just flopping around today. I didn't.
This is a very modest update.
Yeah, so
or modest
not that
down
big
day.
Deal. You're listening to Invest Talk. The trend is clear. The longer you hold an investment, the better your chances of making money. Find a handful of companies that enjoy huge and lasting advantages over their competition. That might be a little bit more difficult than it sounds, but it's what you think you can do it. That's great. So how do you find them? Let's talk about it. My direct line is 888-99-SHARP.
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Dan from Chicago. Just wanted to get your opinion on an ETF. So iShares Agricultural Producers ETF, Veggie, V-E-G-I. It has, I like it because it has exposure to the ag sector, which is one of the areas of commodities that I think still has some room to run. It doesn't trade on very high volume, which is one concern I have. But what I really like about it is I trade with Fidelity. I can get into it commission-free. It has nice coverage of lots of the companies that I would like to have exposure to: Archer Daniels Midland, Deere, Kubota, Agrium, Mosaic, and Potash. So yeah, if I could just get your opinion on it and what a good buy point would be, and maybe your opinion on the overall agricultural sector in general, it'd be great. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Okay, the symbol is VEGI. It is an exchange-traded fund, seeking performance correspond to the MSCI ACWI Select Agricultural Producers Investable Market. We kind of like it. Justin and I kind of like it. It's a global agricultural exposure ETF.
Yeah, the ag sector is kind of breaking out. If you look at a DBA, I follow DBA, which is tracks the agricultural commodities, the underlying commodities, and it's kind of broken out over the past few weeks. And I think this sector is something that I've been looking at as well. Now, you know, we would find our favorite within this ETF, but if he's trading it for free and he doesn't want to do the research to find the best of all the companies in this ETF, then I think it's a good play. 2.3% dividend.
And it is lightly traded. Volume is only 33,000 shares. Yeah. But I don't think you should be, as an individual investor, I don't think you should be afraid of that unless you have a couple $100 million you're going to invest.
Yeah.
So I don't think you should be afraid of that.
Yeah, we have to worry about that because we have tens of millions of dollars to invest. Yeah. But, individually, that volume issue isn't that big of a deal.
So VEGI, we kind of like it. And he wanted to know what's a good buy point. And you know what? It's going to be tough. You could just start buying a little bit here and if it pulls back, buy some more.
Yep.
It's tough when a buy point on that.
Yeah, it's a little overbought from the short term, but I like what he's looking at.
Yeah. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Duration risk. You know what a duration risk is for a bond? Okay. Bonds go up and down in value, just like stocks, but they go up and down in volume for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you're looking at bonds and you look at short term versus intermediate term versus long term. And the longer you go out, the higher yield you're going to get, right? And everyone says, well, I want more yield. Well, for more yield, you take more risk. And that risk really is duration risk. So the typical rule is if interest rates move 1%, whatever the duration, meaning how long until that bond matures or the average bond in that bond fund matures, it will move that percent. So if it's a 10-year bond and the interest rates move 1%, it's going to go down 10% if interest rates rise 1%. So that's kind of a general rule of what duration risk is.
Now, there's a lot of other risks of bonds. We talked about this yesterday, political risk for bonds. Okay, depending on what part of the world and what country you're talking about, there's political risks, or what states for that matter. There's mm-hmm. different kinds.
There's
of
currency risk.
Currency.
If you're investing in a foreign bond, and the foreign bond is you're getting paid in foreign currency. Well, if the value of that currency falls, the value of that bond payment ultimately falls as well.
And of course, there's the default risk if they go bankrupt.
Like if you're Greece.
Yeah, this is InvestTalk, and it's good that you're here. It's like crossing the street in front of an invisible bus. You may be taking the risk, but you know all about it. Use our free risk analysis tool on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Jonathan. I'm a regular podcast listener. I just have a question about a strategy I'm using here. I'm trying to build up enough funds in my brokerage account so that I can invest it successfully in what I'm hoping, stocks and ETFs. And I'm just wondering, in the meantime, if it's wise to purchase no-load mutual funds, since there's no commission that you pay on them, and let it build up that way as opposed to just keeping it in cash. I'm only able to save up a little bit at a time, and then I'll use that money to purchase some stocks and ETFs. Just wondering if that's a wise strategy or not. Appreciate your feedback.
Well, it's not bad, and of course you always want to do no load, but you know, you could use also ETFs.
If there's no commission.
Yeah, no commission for ETFs, and low trading costs.
See, I like, it sounds like he doesn't have a lot of money. And I think for most people who don't have a lot of money, no-load funds are the best way to go because of those commissions. You know, when you're paying, to get a diversified portfolio, right, you need 30-ish stocks, right? And then if you're trying, you're getting charged a commission, you know, cuts a couple hundred dollars in commission. Well, if you only have $2,000, say, for example, that's 10% of your portfolio in just commissions.
But so a lot of discount brokerage, though, give you free, number of free commission trades.
Yeah.
You know, you could try that with ETFs.
You can do it that way, yeah.
Doing no commissions is great, but mutual funds generally are a little bit more expensive fee-wise, annual fee, than ETFs.
Yeah.
And it depends on how little you're investing at a time.
Yeah, but if he's just doing a small amount here and that, you definitely want to use mutual funds so you're not racking up those commissions.
Yeah.
I think you got to have at least 40, 50 grand before you really start getting into diversifying your portfolio with individual stocks and paying that commission.
Yeah. Good, though. It's good that you're starting. It sounds like you're young. Good to start young. That's always the best way to do it. Yeah. What a young adult should do to build wealth. Well, one of them is start young like this caller does. That's one. But when you're just starting out, maybe you're just finally got your career going after a few years out of college or in your late 20s, maybe early 30s, one of the things you should be doing is starting an emergency fund. Have some money set aside for any kind of emergencies. You're going to have them in your life. Car breaks down, you need to put in a new transmission. It's going to cost you $4,000. Yeah, you got to have emergency fund. Pay down and eventually off debt. Now, there are certain debts you want to pay off first, like credit card debt, and some debts you put off later, like maybe school debt because it's cheap, and some debt you'll take on because you're buying assets like a mortgage debt. So, you know, you got to separate the kinds of debt.
The cost of the debt is always number one. What's the highest interest debt that you're paying, and then move down from there?
Yeah, work on that one first. Mm-hmm. Max out your 401k, especially if the employer's matching. Make sure you get the whole match. Come up with an investment strategy. Come up with an investment strategy and think long term, not short term. Don't think, okay, I'm going to get rich quick, because you're not. No one gets rich quick. Okay, I don't want to say no one, but no one you know, and certainly not you.
And this is why we're value investors, is because, you know, we're thinking longer term. You know, a lot of people get caught up in the hype of what technologies are cool or what new companies are cool that just went IPO. Well, majority of the time, those are overvalued, and you've seen that recently. You know, the likes of GoPro and Alibaba and all these companies that have gone, and Shake Shack that have gone public recently have fallen a lot because their values weren't there. And so people were focused on these short-term, exciting names. And in the long run, those tend to not be good investments. But good values, doing your research, that pays off in the long run.
Okay, I haven't been to a Shake Shack, by the way.
Well, they're only on the East Coast. But they I think are? They're coming
no,
here.
No, there's one in Burbank.
One in Burbank? I know they're coming to the West Coast.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what they do.
It's a burger joint.
They have to be competing with In-N-Out.
I was going
to
say.
In-N-Out is a West Coast chain.
You know what I just found out? There's a shortage at In-N-Out. Of, you ever get those little banana peppers?
No.
They're a secret. They're on the secret menu. You ask for them. But there's a shortage in California. And I'm disappointed that next time I go to In-N-Out, I'm not going to be able to get those.
Well, I haven't been in one so long. I know you got to get it animal style. That's all I know.
You got to get it animal
style. Got to get it animal style. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We'd love to talk to you. I'm Steve Pizza with Justin Klein today. And we are registered investment advisors at KPP Financial, and we would love to help you with your finances. We have something that you should be paying attention to, and that's our risk analysis tool we have on our website. And what it will do is, if you go in there, you answer a few questions, and it'll give you a risk score of your personal risk score, how much risk you like to take. And then we compare that with the market, we compare that with your holdings, and it kind of gives you an idea where you are in the risk scale. Some people, it's amazing, some people have a portfolio that's really high, but and when they take the risk score, they should be taking much less risk. And vice versa, by the way. I've seen it both ways. So it's kind of interesting. And I think it'd be something you could do. Go to investtalk.com. You see it right there on the front page, page.
I think what's most interesting, too, is that sometimes people are taking more risk than they even need, right? They have enough money to retire, and they're taking way too much risk, and they're risking their retirement by taking too much risk because, say, maybe they're close to retirement. That's something we see a lot as well.
So we're glad you're with us today for Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, along with Justin Klein. Can you relate to this? His friend told him gold was a good investment because he saw it on the news. Is that a good idea to invest that way? 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. In case we haven't mentioned it, KPP Financial serves clients all across the U.S. If you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio, you'll be ahead of the game. Steve carves out a few hours each month to meet with our podcast subscribers on Skype or telephone. It can be a very educational hour. The next date is set for June 16th. To set your time, go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. We continue now with this Thursday, June 9th, Invest Talk. Looking for solutions to your money puzzles, life insurance, paying for college for your kids? What should be in your 401k? 888-99-CHART is how to get in touch right now and get much closer to the answer.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley here for Invest Talk. Did you know that the S&P has been relying on 10 sectors forever? Okay. There's 10 sectors, and on August 31st, it's going to be 11. They're going to add one. The sector that they're adding is REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts. Now, it was inside the financial sector. Now, they're going to split it off as its own sector.
It's not like REITs are new.
Pardon me?
It's not like REITs are new.
No, REITs are not new. They've been around a long time.
Yeah.
So the question is what will that do? Would that make the financial sector stronger when REITs are out of it?
I would say it would make them weaker as a whole because it's less diversified.
I would think so too. And now the 11th sector is going to be very focused on REITs. I think that
on real estate.
Real estate. Period.
But that'll still be diversified amongst, you know, industrial REITs and apartment REITs and mortgage REITs. You know, there's a lot of different types of REITs, healthcare REITs, et cetera.
But, you know, REITs in general right now are already kind of expensive.
Yeah.
Now, will this make them more expensive because people can now have a sector, an index that they can track? And there's going to be indexes. You know they're going to produce indexes of REITs.
Well, they already have them.
But now you're going to have more. You're going to have more concentration of indexes on REITs. Mm-hmm. And will that mean more money pouring into them and driving the cost up? I'm asking the question. I do not have the answer. I think it would.
Yeah, probably.
And I would not be an investor in them because it's already expensive.
Yeah, they're all broadly expensive. And, you know, that has a lot to do with interest rates. You know, people are chasing yield. And REITs have yields. And that doesn't mean that every REIT is bad or unattractive. It just means the sector as a whole broadly is overvalued.
And so it might continue to be overvalued. Mm-hmm. No, that means. Let's go to John in San Jose. He wants to talk about Abbott Laboratories. How you doing, John? John?
Hi, John. Hi. How you doing? I'm calling about Abbott Labs, and I was wondering, it looks like it's kind of down there in the chart and trying to find a bottom. and came up a little bit, and I was thinking it would be a good time to purchase it, even though, you know, a lot of details aren't understood in their merger, but hopefully it might work out okay. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, this is Abbott Laboratories, everybody. They're out of Illinois. Develop generic pharmaceuticals, diagnostic system, nutritional supplements, vascular and orthotomic products. They're going to acquire St. Jude Medical. What was the other? Wasn't there a big news on that, Justin, about them merging with somebody?
Yeah, with St. Jude.
Was it St. Jude's?
Yeah.
I guess it was.
For about $46, $25 billion. That's a pretty big acquisition.
Whoa.
They're a $57 billion company. So definitely a big acquisition. You know, frankly, I'm just not a fan of the healthcare space right now. Great company. It's, I wouldn't say it's cheap. You know, you're trading at a 20 PE and revenue growth is flat. Earnings growth is negative. You know, projections for next year up 12%, but those are just projections. Last quarter, earnings are down 13%. And broadly, the biotech sector is not doing well. And there's going to be, and I've said this many times, and you're going to see it more and more, is more scrutiny from Congress, from the government, on drug prices.
Yeah.
And this is really going to hurt the whole industry.
Yeah, I wouldn't be keen on it. I used to love this industry, and I've been the last couple of years just not so keen on the industry. It's like the big banks. I'm not keen on the big banks because of the Dodd-Frank Act. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to make profits going to be tougher and tougher to come by.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why Abbott is buying St. Jude's, because they know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're trying to diversify their business and grow it and get that size. John, it's just not for me. I like Abbott Laboratories as a company. I just don't know if I like the stock even at this price. And it's come down. And I don't think it's come down enough.
Yeah, I think you got to get it in the 20s for me to be excited about it.
Yep. Okay, John?
Yeah, good thoughts. Okay,
thanks, John. Abbott Laboratories, ABT. Yeah, it's got to be cheaper to be attractive. I mean, at a 19 PE right now, they're going to make $2.47 or $38 stock. Still not cheap enough. That's what that means. So we're here for you. We're beginner or experienced investor are always great. We love to hire from both ends of the spectrum. 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and can't reach us during our live program, you know, we're live 4-5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, you still can call anytime, record your question, and we'll play it on the next show. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Mr. Beasley. I'm calling from 1220 AM KDOW. I understand Kimberly Clark has many products that are in good times and good and bad times, but it seems pretty high right now. Can you guess a reasonable entry point for this stock? Thank you.
Okay, Kimberly Clark, and what she's referring to is it's a non-cyclical company. That's what, when she says it seems to be good in good times and bad times. Because their products, diapers and baby wipes and bathroom tissue, that kind of stuff, you buy it no matter what. You have to buy it. You buy in good times or bad times. So it's non-cyclical, and the meaning is not attached to the economic cycle. If we go into recession, they still make money.
It doesn't mean their business doesn't fluctuate at all. It just means that they're not going to have big swings in profitability. And you saw that back in 2008, their earnings barely dipped.
Yeah. Now, it's a big company, $47 billion. Kimberly Clark, KMB is the symbol. Sales have been shrinking for, six out of the last eight quarters? And shrinking in the single digits, but still shrinking. And this is part of the problem with the entire S&P 500. Sales have been going down. Earnings have been going down for 3 to 4 quarters in a row. Doesn't mean these companies are bad. They're very good companies. And Kimberly Clark is a very good company. It's just that they're having a hard time with this economic reality we have in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's an international company. They're going to make money. Sales, interest, earnings are going to go up to $6.10, up 6%, then up to $6.58 next year.
But revenues are falling, and I think some of that has to do with the strong dollar. It's an international company, so they have some foreign currency headwinds that might be an issue, but that's kind of slowed down.
So their P/E is around 20. Well, that's too high for this kind of company. Mm-hmm. It's way too high. I would, you give me a forward P of 10, Okay, I'm there.
And this has got to be a sub $100 stock for me to get excited about it. And now it's at 130.
Yeah, yeah. So good company, not now. You can see my portfolio check updates on investtalk.com. These are very informal meetings where we can look at your retirement accounts and maybe give you some suggestions. I'd love to do that. And, you know, we also show you our programs and I go over what we do. But I'm not a big pushy person about this stuff. It's if you need our services or you can use our services, I'd be happy to talk to you about it.
Yeah. And you go through a whole day and some people do and some people don't.
Yeah. So I'll be doing these meetings on Skype and phone on June 16th, then in San Ramon, June 28th, and San Jose on June 29th. So to reserve your spot for 1 hour informal meeting, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
Downsizing may be your first move in preparing for retirement. When should I sell? Where should we move? Questions best answered with a little help. Our own Justin Klein is a licensed realtor, and he'd be happy to help you answer these important questions. Just click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com. He will get back to you.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Time for Invest Talk 101. Everybody makes mistakes. If you don't make mistakes in as an investor, you're not making any decisions at all.
Yep.
That's as simple as that.
Yep.
Now, one of the most common...
You've got to learn from it.
Yeah. The most common and the most foolish mistake, and I've made this in my younger days, is buying on a friend's tip. It's classic. Now, if you think about it just for 5 seconds... Your friend is telling you, oh, buy this great stock. Where'd he get it from? If he got it from somebody, then where'd they get it from? By the time you hear it, it's way too late. And they'll tell you how good it has done. Well, now you're the last fool getting in.
Or you're just chasing returns.
Yeah.
You know, your friend might have gotten lucky. You know, pros make mistakes and amateurs, you know, they stumble upon, quote unquote gold sometimes. So don't think that just because, oh, it's done well over a couple months or a couple years or whatever, that that's going to be the same going forward.
Yeah. What it's done in the past means nothing about the future. So what do you do about this? Don't listen to them.
Do your own research.
Friends and relatives, don't listen to them.
Do
your own research. And, you know, doing your own research doesn't mean taking that idea and then go look up everything about it and saying, hey, I like it. That's not research.
Yeah. And that's called confirmation bias. People
exactly.
will say, okay, I think I should buy this and I want to find information about it. And I only look at the positive information to confirm, quote unquote, their hunch, right?
Yeah.
But everything, you have to look at the pros and the cons, the positives and the negatives, because every single investment out there in the entire world throughout history has pros and cons.
And if you have in your mind to say, you know, I really research this company, I can't find anything wrong with it, do not buy that company.
Yeah.
Especially
if it's located in China.
Because that tells me you haven't done enough research.
Yeah.
So don't do it. Yeah. That's Invest Talk 101. Got a question about the stock or strategy? Call back. 888-99-CHART. Call us right now. Anytime, number 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is David from Texas. I had a question about investing in property. I have some friends that swear it's the best thing since sliced bread, and I was kind of interested in what they were saying, but I really don't have any idea how to calculate a return on investment. What specifically should I be looking at if I was going to, say, buy some residential property to have as cash flow for retirement? Thank you, guys. Love what you do. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
That's a great question, since I'm a licensed realtor. Well, what you need to look for is cash flow. Don't look at price appreciation, because that comes and goes, and there'll be good times and bad times. What investing in property is about is cash flow, positive cash flow. And you calculate it based on the cap rate. So what is the total what is the total yield you're getting from that after paying all the expenses? Not just the mortgage and interest. I'm talking about taxes. I'm talking about insurance. Is there any HOA dues? Upkeep, which you have to set aside for. Any potential vacancies on rentals, which you should probably account for 1 month of vacancy per year. If you don't have that 1 month of vacancy, that's kind of icing on the cake. So you have to be conservative with your calculations. And there's always opportunities. Generally, right now, you know, real estate is high. If you're going to look for opportunities, most of the best opportunities are not in California, yeah. Frankly.
Florida is good right
Texas,
now.
Texas is good. Texas, though, you know, and each market's a little bit different. Here in California, typically taxes are about 1%, and they don't go up very much because of, was it Prop 14?
13.
Prop 13. Where they can only go up a small amount.
2%
a year. 2%
per year. No more than 2% a year.
In Texas, typically, the rates for taxes are 3%, much, much higher. So you have to understand those differences between states, between regions, and location is always very, very key. So make sure that you're doing your due diligence. Don't just, like Steve said just now, just because your friend says it's the greatest thing in the world doesn't mean that it is. Do your own research, and if you have any other questions and need help, give me a call. Go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Justin, and I'll answer any questions for you.
888-99-CHART. Okay, today there was an article in the newspaper, Investors Daily, was that what the paper?
Financial Times.
Sometimes I can't remember the names of these newspapers. Anyways, negative rates stir mutiny with bank threat to put cash in vaults. Mm-hmm. Now, these are banks mainly in Germany and Japan. Mm-hmm. The negative rates they're talking about is the negative interest rates the central bankers have been pushing to try to get the economies going again.
And they forced the banks to invest in safe, quote unquote, safe securities. Well, what are safe securities?
Well, they're government securities.
Yeah. So here in America, they forced them to buy treasuries.
Right.
And at least treasuries here have some sort of yield.
Yeah.
Well, treasuries in Germany and Japan, what do they yield?
Negative half a point to a point. Half a point or so. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay the government to borrow for them to borrow money from you. What? It doesn't make sense. So the banks are starting to kick up some dust about this because they can't make money. Because all the banks to make money, it's all about the spread. Mm-hmm. Okay? And they can't get a good spread. So a depositor puts money in the bank. Are they going to charge a depositor for putting the money in the bank? No, they got to pay them something. It might be tiny.
And here in America, you know, rates are really low, but, you know, they can invest them in treasuries. And, you know, they're paying 0.25% or I think 37 basis points right now on deposits, but they're still making 1-2%. Well, in Germany and Japan, they're borrowing for 0.25% or whatever, but then they're lending it out basically for negative yield. You can't make money. And that's why if you look at the charts of Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse, two of the largest European banks, German-based banks, their charts are horrendous.
Because they can't make money. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peason, along with Justin Klein. If you still have a question, we still have time. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Thanks for taking my call. I have two kids in college, one a freshman, one a junior, and I'm struggling through supporting them doing so. Is it too late for me to take advantage of 529 or Coverdell program here in California? Thank you.
Yes. They're already in college. The only good thing about those things is the length of time that you have to build wealth. You know, and you don't have any time. They're already in college. So, yeah, I would not do a 529 or even a Coverdell.
Yeah, you're late to the game.
Yeah. You want to do that when your child's 1, 2, 3, 4 years old.
I mean, I guess you could invest it and then
What?
Over the 4 years that they're in college, you can gain some interest.
But that's kind of too short of a time to really rely on a
return. And you're going to need that money, so you're not going to want to take a lot of risks. So if you don't want to take a lot of risks, you're not going to get a lot of yield. So what type of – doesn't matter. You're not going to get much gain to avoid taxes in any way. So it's kind of pointless.
So I said yes, right? Again, we could have stopped at yes.
We could have, but I was just going through for the listeners kind of the critical thinking
totally
of why.
I understand. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Signs of a pending fall in the indexes. Now, please take this with a grain of salt. And remember to take everything with a grain of salt. But here's some signs that are a little bit disturbing. And I'll tell you why after I give you the four signs. The market increases early in the day and then kind of drifts later on the day, maybe a little higher, maybe a little lower, but not.
The close is near the low, is what.
Yeah.
It's kind of
for the day.
Which usually means because usually the institutions are trading in the morning.
Of course, I was going to say that after all four of these, you're kind of, the punchline before.
I'm killing. Okay.
Another sign: declines are short in duration, and buyers come in on dips. And then great news is. Good news is great, and bad news is kind of ignored.
And that's kind of what you saw with the jobs number.
That's right.
Yeah, jobs number was poor, and oh, great, the Fed's not going to raise rates now, so free money's here to stay.
And finally, sell-off in the last hour of the trading day. Now, why is that so, Justin?
The institutions, they tend to trade in the morning, and if you go down to Wall Street in the middle of the day, you'll see a lot of those traders, they're at...
The bars.
What's that one really fancy one? Delmonico's. Delmonico's. You know.
I've been to Delmonico's. I don't know why it's so fancy. It's kind of dingy and dark.
But that's the a lot of Wall Streeters
Across
go.
Across the street.
And, you know, they kind of come back at the end of the day.
Drunk. I worked in New York, and I worked right in that area, Wall Street area. And the martini lunch, I worked for an insurance company. The martini lunch back in... those days
was very popular.
Was the common thing. There was a lot of business conducted in the martini lunch, and they lasted 2-3 hours, and there's nothing but a bunch of drinking. And then your executive bosses would come back, and they're all drunk.
Yep.
It was. I remember one time my boss was passed out on the conference table, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, passed out, drunk,
wasted.
I'm thinking, I'm working my tushy off, and he's just getting plastered every day.
Well, it's if you look at the volume throughout the day, SPY is probably the simplest and easiest.
Right.
In the morning, the first hour and a half, 2 hours of the day, there's a lot of volume. Mm-hmm. And then it slowly trickles off, and then it's a very low amount of volume, most middle of the day. And then the last hour of trading, it picks back up again. So where is that volume coming from? That's all institutions.
Yep.
In the middle of the day, it's kind of the average person, maybe a few institutions here and there. But generally, that's kind of where they trade, beginning and the end of the day. And so if the market is selling off at the end of the day, that means that there's a lot of selling pressure from institutions, and institutions pretty much drive the market.
Yeah. So it's, quote unquote, smart money. Mm-hmm. What are they doing with their money? And they seem to be more on the sell side recently.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, is this a sign that the market is getting very tired of this bull run that we've had? And no one knows for sure. It's just, as you know, I've been talking about these different things to look at for a while now, for the last couple of weeks, positive and negative. It seems like the negatives are kind of outweighing the positive, even as the market's moving up. So just be very, very careful out there, people. Our time is up. If you have a question you want to ask me directly or Justin, you're welcome to do so. You can send me or Justin a note by going to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin. I'm Steve Peasley with Justin Klein today, a registered investment advisor firm for KPP Financial. And for everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. Let's get together again on tomorrow, maybe on the same time. How about that?
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.